I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
SportstownChicago.com. Lombard, part of the Be On Air Network and available on the TuneIn app.
Hell yeah.
Broadcast home for your Windy City Bulls and the Chicago Dogs. We're in a league of our own. Now, here's your SportstownChicago.com scoreboard update.
I'm David Dykstra with your SportstownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com. Cal Hendricks struggles in the first inning, giving up four runs as a five-game winning streak ends last night. They lose to the Pirates 6-5. The Cubs start a two-game series with the Indians Tuesday, first pitch, 5:10 p.m. White Sox complete the three-game sweep of the Royals as they win 9-3. Your main Mercedes goes 2-for-5 with three RBIs. White Sox start a series with the Twins on Tuesday, first pitch at 7:10 p.m. Bulls win their third straight game as they defeat the Pistons 108-96. Zach LaVine leads the team with 30 points, and Nikola Vukovic pours in another double-double. Bulls' next game is tomorrow against the Nets, tip-off at 7 p.m. Blackhawks beat the Stars 4-2 to win their second game in a row. Blackhawks' final game of the season is tonight against those same Stars. Puck drops at 7 p.m. Rory McIlroy ends his 8-month winless drought by winning the Wells Fargo Championship on Sunday. Rory finished the tournament at 10-under to win the championship. Martin Truex Jr. wins his third race of the season as he dominates the Darlington Raceway. Next for NASCAR is Dover International Speedway. This has been your SportstownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com.
The greatest sports talk radio show going today. That's right, Blow the Whistle. With your host, Brandon Stats Januska.
Craig Kimbrell. He did not have a good spring. Two innings pitched so far in both Saturday's and Sunday's game. Two innings, five strikeouts.
Tyler Butterball Buterball.
Can we just give a hand to Arterist that he has done more in within those 5 hours of trade deadline than Paxson and Foreman has ever done in their entire career with the Bulls?
And David Double D Dykstra.
And all of a sudden, Jordan Spieth has figured out his swing, ladies and gentlemen. And if Jordan goes on a tear, Jordan's Tiger-esque to the point where no one can beat him.
Hit us up on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1.
And now, here's Brandon, Tyler, and David.
That's right. We are Blow the Whistle. Apologies to everyone. We're having some technical difficulties, but that ain't stopping us.
Let's go.
We're still going.
Let's get this thing started. Let's go.
Absolutely. David's ready. Brandon, you ready?
I'm ready to go, always.
We got, as you guys know, we had to cut our show a little short today because we had to start a little half hour late just because we were still in class. So.
First day of class. Sports emphasis.
Woo!
But we're still going to give you guys a great show. Right now, we're going to start off with Bulls. And then we're going to go into the greatest segment ever in sports, radio,
You're
TV, anything.
Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls. And then in our last hour, we're going to end it off with some baseball. We're going to talk Cubs and White Sox. So,
look at the smile on Brandon's face. We got a whole hour worth of baseball.
All righty. You guys ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All righty. So we're just start talking about Bulls since they are on a three-game winning streak.
What's that about?
Like, I know. What is going on now? All of a sudden.
All the pressure's off.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah, they're showing up for their fans. They finally have fans back at the United Center.
United Center has a lot of fans. And Blackhawks has got fans now. Luckily, yeah, they were able to get fans in for
last two games they played over the weekend, and now tonight is their final game, so good luck to them. They're not going to be in the postseason this year, but they're finishing strong. Alex DeBrincat with goals in six straight.
And a lot of positives for the Blackhawks.
Absolutely.
And the Bulls.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not out of it yet.
No, listen, no.
Let's just put it to you this way. It was an overall great weekend for Chicago sports in general. So let's start talking
hands
about
down.
It.
So, yeah, Bulls coming off a 108-96 victory against the Pistons. So, extending that winning streak to three games. And so, I have a quick question to the listeners, then I'll hand it off. I'll throw it off to you guys. So, with the Bulls on a three-game winning streak and slowly creeping for that 10th spot to make it in the play-in tournament, can they make it up there and make the play-in tournament? Let us know on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. That's BLOWTWHISTLE1. So, David, I'm going to ask you first. There's four games left in the
I feel like season. We're about to have the same discussion that we just had about the Blackhawks. Very reminiscent. It's doable, but the road ahead is a very, very bumpy road with a lot of great teams that they're going to have to play. Now, these teams have the option of resting their stars.
Right.
So that is a possibility. But then you also, from what we talked about, Tyler, we also... the Bulls also need the Pacers to kind of drop off the planet.
Yes, because so Pacers next game, I was looking it up. They don't have that easy of a schedule either. They play Brooklyn, they play Sixers, and they also play Milwaukee. Tonight they play Cleveland, so that you never know. That's up in the air.
Yeah, Cleveland's very hit or miss right now. Cleveland can come and show up and play some great basketball, or they could just be the young team that they are and like just not play a great game.
No.
But that being said, I mean, from what you told me, the Bulls have two with the Nets left, one with the Bucks,
and then they have Toronto in between the two games with the Brooklyn.
Toronto's beatable for sure. But the other three games for the Bulls are going to be tests, and I'm interested to see what those teams do. They could, if they win out, they've got a chance.
Absolutely.
They have an absolute chance, but they have... I would almost say they have to win out.
They need to.
Oh, they absolutely have to win out. Yeah. They sit Pacers, 2.5 behind Indiana right now. So
yeah,
and
so they
Pacers have to lose basically room. Every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's what we're looking at. It's a steep hill to climb. But like we said with the Blackhawks when we were talking about their playoff hopes, it's not all bad news even if they don't make the playoffs.
No.
There's been a lot of bright spots this season. And last night being one of those where your three show up and play great basketball. You know, Vuk with another double-double, LaVine pouring in 30 like it's nothing, and then you had Coby White.
21.
With 21. So, when they do that, they're done. And I'm telling you right now, if the Bulls make the playoffs, I'd be afraid to play them.
I would too, because if you've noticed...
They're starting to figure things out.
They're hot right now, yeah.
They are definitely hot. And they play really well against... more competitive. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it just brings more out of them when they play against the top-notch teams. They play better against them, as we saw previous in this season. So I wish they wasn't like in a situation where they can just slither their way into the playoffs. Where I think it's gonna come over time. Granted, like this was Donovan's first year, bringing in some new players, taking out some old players. So. It's just at this point, it's just focus like at the off season. It's like, okay, guys, we know what we can do and what kind of game we can play. It's just a matter of getting it all together and then figuring things out, and then come back next season and playoff time.
I'm telling you right now, one of the first things they better do in the off season is shore up Thaddeus.
Yeah,
that'd be the one guy out of all the because he's on a 1 year, right?
I believe so.
I believe he's on a 1 year. I would sure him up for at least 3 years.
I've been liking how he's been playing.
He's done an amazing job for them this year, and
absolutely.
He's been that spark plug all year long. So I would sure him up, get him under contract for at least 3 years. And like we said, positive signs moving forward for the future of the Bulls by far. Brandon, you got some things you want to say as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, they've definitely... like we said before, it's similar to the Blackhawks of they exceeded expectations for the most part. And it's just kind of, they had a chance. They look like they might get there. And obviously they still have a chance. A lot of it depends on if Cleveland can knock off the Pacers tonight.
If Cleveland could come through and beat the Pacers tonight, that would be huge.
Yeah, basically, we're all Cleveland fans for tonight. That's for sure.
Yeah, the Pacers.
Never would have thought that we would hear that.
Well, I mean, especially since LeBron's gone, I really don't.
Yeah, at that point, it's okay.
The Pacers with four games left, the Bulls only three. So, yeah, if the Pacers were to win tonight, they'd be sitting three games up, and then it would literally would have to lose out. So, it's going to be tough, like we said, but as you guys said, there are plenty of positives to look at, and Vooch with LaVine moving forward, that's going to be a dynamic duo moving forward for sure.
Definitely.
Well, the one thing that I've noticed just watching lately is Brooklyn is beatable. Brooklyn's been beatable.
I still think they're overrated.
Milwaukee's the team everybody's got to look out for, because all of a sudden they're starting to figure things out and play really great basketball. So that might be the game
that's going to be the toughest one, in my opinion.
Yeah, decides whether or not they make the play.
The one thing I want to counter with what you were saying, David, about if the Milwaukee or Brooklyn is going to pull out their starters, the only issue is that Indiana will have that edge on them too, because Indiana plays. They don't play Brooklyn. They play Philly, Milwaukee, Lakers, Toronto. That's their next.
The Lakers aren't pulling out because they're in a fight.
Right.
The only one that I truly saw pulling out their starters was Brooklyn, because Milwaukee's still trying to get to that 3-2-3 seed, I believe.
Yes.
So they're still fighting because for some reason I heard that they don't want to be in that 3 seed.
Right now they are in the 3 seed. They clinched their division.
Yeah.
Which that was a given. But they could still fight for that number 2 spot. Currently, they are half a game away from Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Brooklyn to me seems like a team who just doesn't care as long as they're in the playoffs.
They could technically
turn it on when they're in.
Yeah. They could technically even fight for the number 1 spot, because they're only 3.5 away from
Milwaukee's that team that I feel needs to prove something, and that's why they're not going to rest their starters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, actually now that I'm looking at it, the Pacers, you can consider, depending on if the, you said that Brooklyn's been pulling their starters, that the Pacers technically, I guess you could say, have a little bit of a tougher schedule.
Yeah.
Because Toronto, I mean, not too worried about them as the Bulls are too. Shouldn't be too worried about them. But like you said about the Lakers, they're fighting because we know that
to not be in the play-in.
LeBron is not happy about the play-in tournament. So it's going to be a battle. So is there a chance? Absolutely. Do we wish that it was not such a slim chance and going to give all of us Bulls fans heart attacks at the last minute? Yes. But, you know, that's what makes this sport so much fun and interesting.
Yeah.
You got to have chaos.
Absolutely.
We love chaos. Always. That's what we do here on this show.
We create chaos.
We create the chaos. Well, that wraps up our short Bulls segment. Fingers crossed the Bulls will be able to pull it off and make the play-in tournament, but we do need to move on, and we are moving on to, hands down, the greatest segment in not only sports radio, but in radio in general, and you all know what it is. It is time for your Killing Me Smalls. Hit us up on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's B-L-O-W-T...
It's Monday.
Monday.
B-L-O-W-T-W-H-I-S-T-L-E
1. And tell us what this weekend made you say, "You're killing me, Smalls." We all know you've all had one out there. Stay tuned for this amazing segment here on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports.
Red left.
SportsTownChicago.com.
Take that exit and get to the Southern Cafe, home of the Nasty Biscuit on Roselle Road in Roselle. Get over there and try the chicken fried chicken biscuit made with the Southern Cafe's house-made drop biscuit with buttermilk chicken fried chicken smothered in country gravy, topped with shredded cheddar and crumbled hickory smoked bacon. I always say that when you go to the Southern Cafe, you come out with two meals with the heaping amounts of food they serve you in every meal. I love to go to a place with outdoor seating. The Southern Cafe has a great outdoor seating area to help social distance, and I get to enjoy my breakfast outdoors. Open 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. to give you plenty of time to grab an amazing breakfast or lunch. Now get your butt over to the Southern Cafe on Roselle Road.
Hello?
It's speed walking day.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention we'd be slowing down when we pass the court where those fine brothers play ball?
I heard that.
Reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Get active, eat right, and maybe even run into Mr. Right. Isn't sisterhood beautiful? For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
Alert! Alert! Be gone, maxed out credit cards, overdue loans, suffocating interest rates, and relentless collection agencies. If your credit rating is making you and others around you cringe, there's only one thing to do, and that's to turn to the professionals at Creative Credit Solutions. Even if your credit is less than perfect, we'll help you get back on track. You can do it, and we can help. Call today or visit creativecreditsolutions.net for your free credit check report.
Blow the whistle on SportstownChicago.com. Mondays and Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. as we talk NFL.
The game plan was really sound.
In the quarterback league, it has been, it still is.
Franchise-defining quarterbacks.
College football.
Will Jim Harbaugh make it through the season as Michigan's head coach?
Some more Big Ten talk.
And here's some things you wouldn't expect.
I would have never expected that.
Get all of that and more on Blow the Whistle on SportstownChicago.com.
You're killing me, Smalls!
You all know it. It is time for the best segment in sports and radio.
Did you turn into a robot?
That's what it sounded like. He had some trouble going into the break. He's having some trouble coming out of it.
I'm here to love all of you.
We've got a quota, two words at a time.
No. It's time for You're Killing Me, Smalls. We all know you guys got a moment that says You're Killing Me, Smalls, because there's been lots of moments this past week and weekend, and I know we all got one. And again, you can always let us know real quick. We love sharing your guys' You're Killing Smalls on our show at Blow T Whistle 1. That's BLOWTWHISTLE 1. Brandon, I'm going to go with you first.
All right.
I want to hear yours.
All right, mine's in the same sport as David's will be.
You know what's funny? I can't believe we're going golf heavy today.
I know.
It's great.
That never happens.
Let's go.
I was concerned you might take this one, but you got a good one.
I do enjoy that one, though. Yeah, so go for it, Brandon.
It's more funny than upsetting. He might have been upset.
No, that's just stupidity, but we'll get there.
So Bryson DeChambeau. Over the weekend at the Wells Fargo tournament, he's the number 5 ranked golfer. And after he put up a 74 on Friday, that's 2 over par, he assumed he wasn't going to make the cut.
And you know what assuming does.
Assuming everybody knows what it does. And so he flew home to Dallas. The tournament's in Charlotte. That's about a 2.5-hour flight home to Dallas. He gets off the flight. Realizes the cut was set at +2. He made the cut, which means he's got to get back to Charlotte for the next round the next day. So he flew all the way home to Dallas, only to realize he made the cut, has to fly all the way back to Charlotte so that he can play the next day. So an eventful 24 hours for DeChambeau. And you got to wait it out. A +2, obviously that's not good, but you still got a chance. You got a chance still.
It's better. I mean,
you're going to get me wound up already. You're going to get me wound up already. Listen, here's the thing. The man has been on quote unquote supplements. I think the supplements went to his brain and he's just, yeah, I hit the ball hard. See where
get in the grass.
No, but here's my thing. Like, you're correct. You're right there on the cut line. Who's to say somebody doesn't do something where that cut line moves and you're now made the cut? Be patient. Wait the extra 4 hours, you doo-doo-head. Oh, I almost cussed. I apologize.
Yeah, and it turned out there were windy conditions on that Friday. Oh, and God. That is part of the reason why the cut was set at the +2. Oh. A lot of people did not have their best games as windy conditions throughout the day. So he played, he played early in the morning. Maybe it wasn't quite as windy, but still, you gotta wait it out.
Yeah.
Wait until you're officially eliminated before packing it in.
That's such a rookie
It's like
mistake.
He didn't take any time at all to, like, even wait to hear if his name was.
Oh, no.
It was,
he's like, oh, it sucks.
Yeah, he was a hothead.
A plus
he was
two,
a hothead,
yeah.
Pissed off at his round, and he decided. I'm
done.
Taking my clubs and going home.
He pouted a little bit.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly what happened.
That is awesome.
Bryce and DeChambeau for going home without realizing where the cut was going to be set.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That is great. Now let's keep the golf going.
Let's keep the golf going, David.
Let's go, David. What do you got?
Mike's not so much at the golfer, but the media that continues to blow stuff out of proportion. Congratulations, Rory McIlroy, for ending your 18-month drought of winning any kind of tournament or being close to winning any kind of tournament in this last 18 months because you've played like absolute trash. I watched you during the Masters hit probably one of the worst shots I've ever seen in my entire life. It looked like you chili dipped something right into a pond. That's how bad you're swinging at the ball. But good on you. You had a great weekend. You won the tournament. In walks the media. Oh, he's back. He's won a tournament. The old Rory McIlroy is back. We have nothing to worry about. He'll be winning, you know, the next 5 tournament. No. No, media. Golf media in particular. No, this doesn't mean that the man is back. It means he had a good weekend. That's it. Cut, dry, end of story. And guess what? You won it at 10 under. That isn't that great of a number there, Rory. Most tournaments get won anywhere from 10 to 20. 10's on the low side, especially for the Wells Fargo. So, that being said, media, let's give it a couple weeks. Let's give it a month, 2 months. If he continues to play well and maybe be in the hunt for tournaments, maybe not win them all, but be in the hunt or be close to the top, yeah, then maybe he's back and he's figured some stuff out. But you're going to base him being back on one tournament and one tournament only? Come on, man. Even I'm not that stupid. Jeez Louise, it's golf. People go on hot streaks all the time. I hope he's back. He's great for the game. But the media is blowing this way out of proportion. And for that, golf media, anyone golf related that's saying Rory McIlroy is back and he's fixed all his problems. It kills me. Every time.
Media just jumped the gun, really.
Just watch. Tiger will walk onto a golf course and they'll all be like, oh, he's back. He's going to win the next 3.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, jeez.
That's my plan once he comes back.
He's the man again.
Well, I am not going to continue with golf. I'm going.
See how you are?
I'm sorry. Jeez. This one is just, it's deserving because we just heard about this morning. Tim Tebow and the Jaguars.
Before you start this, you better say a prayer because lightning bolts might come down and strike you. I'm just saying.
I'll try. Tim Tebow and the Jaguars have agreed to a 1-year deal. Tim Tebow is coming back to football. Not to play quarterback. To play tight end. I don't even know how to wrap my head around this because Tebow, you went to play quarterback. No one, after the it fell through from the Broncos, you went to multiple different teams. You went with the Patriots. You went to the Jets. I can't even remember the other teams you went on. And then you decided to switch careers and go to baseball. And you tried baseball out. And you were actually doing pretty solid. And then your name went away. And then now all of a sudden we're hearing about you coming back to the NFL playing tight end. I've heard some rumors about this, which cracks me up, which makes this even funnier. I heard that Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer are like neighbors. So they don't live that, like, live like a few doors away from each other. So what I'm thinking has happened is that Tim Tebow is out running sprints on the sidewalk with his shirt off, and Urban Meyer's like, I like that.
I remember the good old days in Florida when you took our team to the national title because I'm Urban Meyer and I'm just a dill hole. I mean,
this is my you're killing me small.
Don't get me started on Urban, buddy.
No, that's why I'm going to turn away from that. Tim Tebow. Someone, I heard this from a podcast, and I'm just going to borrow it because it was great. Tim Tebow is like the little kid in sports that just wants to try out every single sport to find out what he's doing. It just cracks me up. Tim Tebow, he will never leave us because he's such a great man, but he's just trying to become he's trying to get back to his professional athlete stage, and he's going to try out at tight end. So get ready, guys. You're going to watch Trevor Lawrence throw the ball up to Tim Tebow in the end zone a lot. No, but
you never know.
We'll see. Maybe Tim Tebow's going to shock us, but I'm telling you right now, he hasn't played football in years. Like, this is more surprising than Gronk coming out of retirement.
Oh, I mean, that wasn't surprising Gronk, at all.
No. So the fact that Tim Tebow is just going to come back and play a different position, that's great. So, Tim Tebow, for not giving up on your professional athletic career and just, you know what, just kind of going with the wind and see what takes you and see what you can play, because apparently you can play just about anything. With that situation...
You're killing me, Smalls!
All right, let me just add on to this. Do you got something?
You go first.
This is what he should have been doing coming out of college to begin with. Tight end is where he should have been. Stupid.
I know.
I'm sorry, man. I love Tim Tebow. He's passionate.
I do love Tim Tebow.
I love his passion for the game. But
I love
don't
Tim
even,
Tebow.
And by the way, let's not even get started on Urban Meyer because you're right. Know. He saw him and he's like, you know, we did do some good things in Florida. Why don't we try to do it in Florida again?
I'm not trying to put, this is I'm a, not putting any hate on Tim Tebow. It just cracks me up that he's jumping up to different sports.
This is a media move too.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Florida Gators god that Tim Tebow is. That's gonna sell tickets.
You're coming
instantly.
Off. You had the number one overall draft pick because you were that bad. You were the worst team in football. You didn't trade into that. And so yeah, you were the worst team in football, but now you have the golden child. Trevor Lawrence coming over, and now you can add Tim Tebow, the Florida hero?
Jesus' favorite football player? Hell yeah, baby!
I'm excited to see it. It's just...
But this is what he should have been doing from the get.
He shouldn't have played quarterback.
He should have been a tight end from the get.
Yeah, no, he's got that size. But, unfortunately, that wraps this up.
Oh.
I was going to say, I had it written here that this wraps up our first hour, but this is our first half hour. We still have a full-on hour for you guys because it is Monday. This second hour, we're going to be talking about baseball. We'll be talking about Cubs with their injury situation and what they will do with their top players with the division race. Then go into the White Sox, talk about Rodon and if he has found his groove and their outfield situation with their young stars being injured. So stay tuned here on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports.
Longtime fans,
sports is like life. SportstownChicago.com.
What's up, Chicago? If you're ever, and I mean ever, out looking for good urban food 24/7, come down to White Palace Grill located 1159 South Canal Street in Chicago. White Palace Grill is open 365 days a year since 1939. I personally love the steak and egg dinner, but whether you like burgers for breakfast, steak for lunch, or French toast for dinner, White Palace is the place for you. The diner is a 24-hour urban oasis. Come now, come later. Heck, come now and later. We never close at White Palace Grill located 1159 South Canal Street in Chicago. Visit us at whitepalace.com or order with Uber Eats or Grubhub anytime, any day.
Daddy, when you look at me, I could see your wheels turning. About what am I going to be when I grow up? A major league first baseman? Maybe a point guard for a national championship?
The odds of a child becoming a professional athlete are 1 in 16,000. Far-fetched? Maybe. But did you know the odds of a child being diagnosed with autism are 1 in 166? That's right, 1 in 166. To learn the signs of autism, go to autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Go to Lux Barbershop for the best barbers and stylists in Plainfield, Illinois. I go there when I have an important event,
date, or I just want to look good. The straight razor shave will have you looking fresh and smooth. Lux Barbershop is open 7 days a week. Go to Lux Barbershop for the finest barbers, stylists, braiders, and massage therapists in the southern suburbs. Check out all their daily deals on Facebook, Instagram, and luxbarbershop.com.
Hi, this is Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
The Chicago Dogs are back on SportsTownChicago.com. Tune in to the season opener against the Sioux City Explorers Friday, May 28th at Impact Field in Rosemont.
First pitch at 7:05 p.m.
Hear all the action right here on SportsTownChicago.com.
I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
SportsTownChicago.com. Lombard. Part of the Be On Air Network and available on the TuneIn app.
Hell yeah.
Broadcast home for your Windy City Bulls and the Chicago Dogs. We're in a league of our own. Now, here's your SportsTownChicago.com scoreboard update.
I'm David Dexter with your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com. The Cubs' five-game winning streak ended last night as Kyle Hendricks struggled in the first inning, giving up four runs. They lose to the Pirates 6-5. The Cubs start a two-game series with the Indians Tuesday, first pitch 5:10 p.m. White Sox completed a three-game sweep of the Royals as they win 9-3. Mercedes goes 2-for-5 with 3 RBIs. White Sox start a series with the Twins on Tuesday, first pitch, 7:10 p.m. Blackhawks beat the Stars 4-2 to win their second game in a row. Blackhawks' final game of the season is tonight against those same Stars. Puck drops at 7 p.m. Bulls win their third straight game as they defeat the Pistons 108-96. Zach LaVine leads the team with 30 points, and Nikola Vukovic pours in another double-double. Bulls' next game is tomorrow against the Nets, tip-off at 7 p.m. Rory McIlroy ends his 18-month winless drought by winning the Wells Fargo Championship on Sunday. McIlroy finished the tournament at 10-under to win the championship. Martin Truex Jr. wins his third race of the season as he dominates Darlington Raceway. Next for NASCAR is Dover International Speedway. This has been your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to beonair.com.
Swing and a fly ball out to center, and Marisnik dives shy of the ball. I don't know what happened. And Newman and Tom will score. Defoe has a two-run single. The Pirates lead 3-0.
He's hurt.
Hit the deck and laid flat on his stomach. Now he gets up, walking slowly toward the Cubs' dugout area. He's done for the day.
Credit to Marquee Network and 670 The Score for those highlights, but I'm like, it's not really a highlight.
Low lights. Another one.
Another bad news Bears scenario for the Cubs.
Which,
you like what I did there?
Yeah,
that was nice.
That was good. I like that.
Pat myself on the back for a second. There we go.
Bravo.
Bravo, Sam.
Well, so obviously we know that there has been more injuries with the Cubs, which has been affecting them this season, which leads me into a question for you guys and our listeners. With all the injuries piling up, how will Ross and Hoyer balance the roster? Let us know what you think on our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. And I think this is pretty obvious. Brandon, I'm going to leave this off with you. What do you?
You never know.
Wow.
You never know.
Really? Oh, come on. No, you give us a bunch of crap.
I'm just messing.
I know. All right. So, Brandon, with all the injuries piling up, do you? How do you think Ross and Hoyer are going to balance this roster?
All right. So, it's going to be tough. It definitely is going to take some juggling and some craftiness to figure this out. So Mariznick, he left. You heard that on the highlight, low light, whatever you want to call it there, the injury update. he left yesterday's game in the first inning with a hamstring injury. Hamstrings are finicky. So, I haven't seen an official report yet, but I expect him to be placed on the IL. He'll be out at least those 10 days. That's on top of Ian Happ already being out. Nico Horner can play in the outfield. He's not an outfielder, but he has before. He's out. Jason Hayward was pulled yesterday during the game with a hand injury. So I'm still waiting to see how serious that might be. It flared up on him. Hopefully the day off today and getting pulled early yesterday would be enough. But if it's not, if he ends up missing time, here's where the Cubs find themselves. So if Mariznick is out on the IL like we expect, and Happ is still out, if Hayward for some reason cannot go, that leaves your outfield as Nick Martini, Jock Peterson, and Chris Bryant would have to be the regular in the outfield. And that leaves no one on the bench. Matt Duffy is capable of playing in the outfield. He's not an outfielder, but he could go out there. And that's basically where they're sitting. Tony Walters can play on the infield. They have Sogard and Bodhi, so they can work it that way. But if it's an extended time, there are not a whole lot of options. You'd like to call someone up, but the Cubs only have two position players on their 40-man roster right now that are not either already on the active roster or on the IL. That being Miguel Amaya, their top prospect catcher, who is not going to be called up. There's no way. And Christopher Morel, an infielder, third baseman, and shortstop who is currently playing in AA. He's not going to be called up. He's not going to be much help being called up. So if they want to call someone up like an Ian Miller or a Cameron Maybin, they'll have to figure out someone to drop from the 40-man roster. And to do so, there are some options potentially depending on how serious some of these injuries are. Maybe they can shift someone from the 10-day IL to the 60-day IL to try to open up that roster spot. But that'll be difficult. Austin Romine is already on the 60-day IL. So basically, the guys who could potentially be put there, it'd be Dan Winkler, who's on with a triceps injury. Doesn't seem like he'll need to go on the 60-day, and you'd hate to lose him for that long. And Trevor Magel, who is out with a forearm. He's been out since April 30th. Again, from what I've heard, it doesn't seem like he'll need to miss and go on the 60-day, but those are the options. Otherwise, the other option would be designating someone for assignment and potentially losing them to waivers.
So what you're saying is the Cubs are accepting applications right now.
If you're an outfielder.
That's what it's sounding like.
But the problem then would be they'd still have to find a spot on the 40-man roster for you.
So just from what you've told me, this is kind of the scenario that I see coming. They're going to do what they're going to put Band-Aids on the dam at this point, you know, put their finger in the dam and just hope that it blocks it from becoming a full on flood and hope that they can get through the time that they need to get through, next man up kind of syndrome.
Yeah. And hopefully if Hayward's able to come back tomorrow, that will help in a big way, major way.
I guess my question to you is, okay, say you have to designate somebody or send somebody down to the minors. Do you look at them before you send them down and go, hey, listen, is there a set amount of time that they have to be sent down, or can they be sent down for a day and then brought back up and that other person be sent back down
the next
day?
Depends on the player. Some players have minor league options still available. Those that don't, they'd have to clear waivers and then they could be options. Okay, so they'd be designated for assignment, and then if they clear waivers, no other team takes them, then they can be reassigned to the minor leagues.
But okay, so let's say that they don't designate them for assignment, they just take them down. Or is that the same thing as dropping them down to the minors?
So again, it depends on the contract. So if you're still on like rookie status or on that, if you have minor league options, they can send you both ways, no questions asked. So, and that could be what happens. Keegan Thompson, he's in the pen right now. He had a spot start and pitched quite well against the Dodgers in that first game of the doubleheader.
Those three innings were really nice.
He's a guy I believe still has minor league options, so he could be a guy who ends up getting sent down.
And they just tell him, listen,
it's not you. You pitched great, but you see what's going on right now.
We need to make some moves.
We need a spot, because unless you want to go out in the outfield, which he may volunteer to do, we need to open up a spot, and they get it at this point.
They'd be going, who's played outfield in their career?
Yeah, and the other thing is,
who's got outfield experience?
Javi Baez, if he's unable to start, he did not start yesterday. He did come in a pinch hit. He's been dealing with some back tightness, so hopefully the day off today. And again, he only came in, had one at-bat yesterday in the ninth. So hopefully he'll be back, but that's another thing to look after.
So you're saying there's going to be a lot of chess piece moving going on.
Definitely. Between Hoyer and then Ross managing the lineup, definitely some movement.
Just the injuries have been killing the Cubs, because they've been having to move players around in all different positions. Because how long has it been since Chris Bryant's been in the outfield? He's been out there for a little while.
But yet they've won 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean,
it's working.
There's something to be said about going with the hot hand. Mariznick getting hurt is huge.
That hurts. Yeah. He's been a huge contributor off the bench.
Huge off, just being a utility guy. And that's what I think a lot of these teams need more of, are these utility guys.
Yeah.
And you take advantage of that. But that being said, I do agree with you. I think they're not going to go out and find somebody, because you still have the same old issue of trying to find a place for that person. So you just try to put a Band-Aid on it for right now. Get through what you need to get through until these guys are quote-unquote healthy, because they're never really healthy. I mean, somebody told me today the reason Bryant's doing so great this year is because for the first time in 3 years, he doesn't have any kind of nagging injuries coming in into the season.
Yeah.
So that shows you a lot.
Yeah, and guys like Horner and Happ, they're eligible to come off on the 14th, so at the end of the week. So hopefully if at least one of them can come off the IL, preferably both, obviously. But if one of them comes back, that will help a lot
as well. More
likely
Horner than Happ, I would say. Happ sounds like, rib injuries are rib injuries, and honestly, I'd rather break a leg than have a rib injury in my life.
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever had a rib injury knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Brutal. Yeah. Before Happ was placed on the IL, though, he was optimistic that he was hoping to play in this past series against Pittsburgh, obviously placed on the IL, so that didn't work out. But hopefully, from what I've seen, the signs are pointing toward both of them coming back when they're eligible at the end of the week. And so, again, that'll be huge, especially if Mariznick is out, and depending on how long that hand injury bothers Hayward and to what effect.
Okay. Well, that wraps up this segment of Cubs, but still stick around. We're still talking about Cubs. The Cubs are slowly competing in the NL Central. Will they be able to climb up to the top? If so, will they have to consider trading away some of their top players? We will give you our takes here on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports. Red Left! SportsTownChicago.com.
Take that exit and get to the Southern Cafe, home of the Nasty Biscuit on Roselle Road in Roselle. Get over there and try the chicken fried chicken biscuit made with the Southern Cafe's house-made drop biscuit with buttermilk chicken fried chicken smothered in country gravy, topped with shredded cheddar and crumbled hickory smoked bacon. I always say that when you go to the Southern Cafe, you come out with two meals with the heaping amounts of food they serve you in every meal. I love to go to a place with outdoor seating. The Southern Cafe has a great outdoor seating area to help social distance, and I get to enjoy my breakfast outdoors. Open 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. to give you plenty of time to grab an amazing breakfast or lunch. Now get your butt over to the Southern Cafe on Roselle Road.
Hello?
It's speed walking day.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention
Shouldn't we be slowing down when we pass the court where those fine brothers play ball?
I heard that.
Reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Get active, eat right, and maybe even run into Mr. Right. Isn't sisterhood beautiful? For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
Alert! Alert! Be gone, maxed out credit cards, overdue loans, suffocating interest rates, and relentless collection agencies. If your credit rating is making you and others around you cringe, there's only one thing to do, and that's to turn to the professionals at Creative Credit Solutions. Even if your credit is less than perfect, we'll help you get back on track. You can do it, and we can help. Call today or visit creativecreditsolutions.net for your free credit check report.
Blow the whistle on SportstownChicago.com. Mondays and Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. as we talk NFL.
The game plan was really sound.
In the quarterback league, it has been, it still is.
Franchise-defining quarterbacks. College football.
Will Jim Harbaugh make it through the season as Michigan's head coach?
Some more Big Ten talk.
And here's some things you wouldn't expect.
I would have never expected that.
Get all of that and more on Blow the Whistle on SportstownChicago.com.
Go Cubs, go is right.
5 of 6. Even though,
hey, I'll take that. So, still talking about Cubs.
And we won't have any of that here.
No, good on them. I'm happy for them that they're playing well. I really am. It seems like the whole, not to sound weird, but it sounds like the whole, when the Cubs are doing good, the whole city is doing good. Like, the city seems brighter.
I was going to say, was it just last week or maybe it was 2 weeks ago that you called out all the teams in Chicago except the Bears?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they all stepped up this past week.
Yeah. See how it goes? See, everybody's listening.
Everyone listens to us.
I'm telling you.
More people listen to us than we think.
Yeah.
I'm going to start this off with a quick question to our listeners and then to you guys. Do you think the Cubs will have to look into shopping for star players before the deadline? If they find themselves in the division race, let us know. Give us your thoughts on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. David, do you think the Cubs, with all the injuries going on, do you think they're going to have to look into shopping the star players that they have right now to get, if they find themselves in the division race?
I don't think you can. If you want to stay in the division race, you got to keep the quote unquote core. You got to keep Bryant. You got to keep Baez. You got to keep Rizzo. You got to, I can't believe I'm going to say this. You got to keep Hayward. I mean, he's a leader, bona fide leader. The part where you might be able to finagle, maybe find yourself a pitcher.
Starter.
Yeah, a starting pitcher. Right now, their inconsistency is ridiculous. Cold weather is killing Davies, although Davies looked good the other day. But once again, beautiful day.
Beautiful day,
and he goes out there and pitches gloriously. Hendricks goes out on a cold, overcast, chilly night, and his stuff's not working.
Yeah, I remember you saying about that.
He was a little unlucky.
And you can call it unlucky all you want, and I get that aspect of it. You know, what I like to call duck snorts out into the outfield.
But especially for him, because he is a contact pitcher, he's not a strikeout guy. So when he's getting that weak contact and it falls in, that just compounds. He gave up two that I would say were solid singles, and he walked a guy. That's on him.
Yeah.
But a couple of those bloops, he did what he wanted. He jammed the hitter, which is what he does. But yeah. And that's not to defend him on the season. He has not been sharp on the season as a whole. And there were moments yesterday where he was just unlucky, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I don't believe in luck per se.
Okay,
But yeah, the baseball gods were not in Hendricks' favor. I will give you that much. But that being said, if you're a true ace, more times than not, those baseball gods are on your favor. Are in your favor and make those things happen for you. That being said, at the start of the season, I was yelling, you need to get an extension to Rizzo and you need to get an extension to Baez. bar none, end of story. At this point in the season, it's Rizzo and Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has been.
It is. And it needs to be.
It does.
Baez has not, and I don't know if he's going to fix his issues.
He just keeps swinging for the fences. That's his big issue.
So you're sitting here asking me if they need to go out and get, no. You do what you do. If this was later in the season and they were in a pennant race, I would say you need to look into getting probably another solid starter, possibly even an ace who's coming at the end of his contract. But right now, you're in, all right, what Band-Aid do I need to put where just to get us through? Because you're early enough in the season that, yeah, if you go on a long losing streak, it's going to affect you. But at the same time, if you can not lose, if you can win a series here and there and not lose 5-6 games straight, you'll be okay.
Quick question. When is the deadline, the trade deadline?
End of July.
End of July. Okay. So they got
it's end of July because it always coincides with me going out to Pennsylvania to visit my friends every year. So I'll be driving and just listening the whole
seeing
time.
Seeing what the heck's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, July 30th is the trade deadline this year.
Okay. Oh, wow. It's coming.
Great. Coming up. The day I'm driving out to Pennsylvania this year, that's going to be great. Awesome.
They did it on purpose.
Yeah,
for you.
Right, right. Let's just mess they with want Dave us, this
let's,
year.
Let's see Dave's road rage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But that's where I would say, I mean, do you agree or disagree with me, Brandon?
Yeah, I would say, and honestly, that's kind of where this question stems from, is if you're the Cubs, do you move these guys on? Because I totally agree. If you're trading away some of these guys, that's saying that you are not...
Your season's done.
Yeah, you're giving up on this year. And
it's
playing
not
for
a
the
reboot.
Future.
It's exactly. A rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's the question they have to ask is if, let's say, they're only a game behind or maybe even in the lead for the NL Central come July 20th, do you say, all right, we have a good chance of winning this division, but at the same time, it's looked at as one of the weaker divisions in baseball right now. I know St. Louis is hot. I believe they actually have the best record
they're gonna come,
in the National League right now.
They're
going
to come down to earth.
But exactly, yeah. Exactly. I believe so, too, that they're hot right now, but eventually they will fall back down. And this division really looks like it can be anyone's but Pittsburgh's in terms of... any of these teams could potentially get hot and take it.
Because the Cubs are only 3.5...
Cubs are only 3.5.
And they still haven't played St.
Brewers
Louis.
Are two.
Brewers are pitching out of their minds. Their starting pitching is just going crazy right now. And with their starting pitching and then having Hader in the back end.
Yeah.
Geez, yeah, that's a lethal combination right there. So, I mean, you've got teams in the NL Central that are viable. Do I think, I think what, slightly above 500 is going to win the division?
Probably. I think 90 wins tops. Yeah, 90 tops, probably 88.
I don't foresee Chicago. It depends. If we see the Cubs that we've seen over the last, 2 weeks, would you say, play for the rest of the season, they're going to be right there.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to be right there. And
definitely.
They need to go out.
I think those past 2 weeks were probably the best span of time that they've ever played this whole season.
And they're
going
to have to go out and get themselves a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
That being said, though, are they going to do it?
I don't think they will. And that's the thing. I don't think they want to go in on this season. Obviously, you want to win as much as you can, but they're not going to bank on this season at all because they're not even if they make the playoffs, they're not the favorites to advance very far in.
So, like, no, go ahead.
I'm just saying they're not the Dodgers or something, which
whatever
the
they just
Dodgers
swept the
are
Dodgers,
struggling
man.
Right
Come
now.
On.
Yeah, I know,
yeah.
Right? I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But in terms of the season, they're not the Dodgers or the Padres, those teams that are looking to win now. The Cubs are looking at like probably 2023 as their next real window.
So you don't think that getting close to trade deadline, you don't think they're going to go like in panic mode thinking that they have to get someone to possibly, they think is good, like to make them win the World Series. You think they're just going to kind of ride it out if they're that close or like at to that point? Or
I definitely don't think they're going to go out and be buyers. I don't think they're going to go trade for someone, but I'm scared that they might just stand pat and not do anything.
I could totally
and that
see
scares
that.
Me because you have all of these pending free agents and then you get nothing for them.
Right.
Obviously, some of them will probably come back.
Yeah.
I still expect Rizzo to be one of those that comes back.
Rizzo should
I would
be.
Love to see Bryant because, to your point, I've always thought that Bryant gives the better at-bat than Baez does. Obviously, Bryant has had his injury troubles.
He's just... What I always want to see from any baseball player is evolution.
Yeah.
And you've seen nothing from Baez.
Yeah, and granted, Baez has been better the last couple weeks or so, but that's the thing. He's still a very streaky hitter because he still chases everything. Even when he's hot, he's going to rack up the strikeouts. He'll strike out 2-3 times a game, but he'll hit that 2-run homer.
The weirdest thing is that like towards the beginning of the season, I think we all kind of thought and figured that the Cubs would be shopping around more for Bryant, which they might still be.
And I still think they will, especially since
he's playing
the hottest
so well.
And I'll say this much. If they go on a huge losing streak because of all these injuries and they end up down there with Pittsburgh, which I don't foresee happening, you could see a fire sale very quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that being said, you said you don't see a scenario in which they're buyers. You see them staying.
Yeah.
To that other end, they get on a hot streak and win 10, 15 in a row, and they've got a good 6-7 game lead in the division, I could see them going out and trying to capitalize on the momentum and trying to get themselves an ace from an otherwise team that doesn't necessarily have a good shot. An ace from a team like Detroit or Pittsburgh even, or you know, one of those other teams that just doesn't have a shot.
So you think more that if the Cubs set themselves up with a better scenario or in a better situation, they'll make...
It would take a huge winning streak, I would say, for them to make a move.
See, that I can see.
It makes sense. I don't agree just because of the fact that I don't think the Cubs are willing... I don't think Jed Hoyer is willing to bank on this season, mainly because...
Oh, don't get me wrong. Do I think it's going to happen? Absolutely
not. Right, right. But because of all the pending free agents and the money that is going to have to be dished out in order to bring back some of these guys, I don't see them making a big move. He's trying to replenish the farm system right now. I don't see him giving up major talent, major young players to go get an ace. If you can trade a Chris Bryant or something for probably not an ace, but a quality pitcher, I could see that potentially.
Okay.
But I don't think they'd go all out giving up young talent to go all in on this season.
See, because for me, that's all Chicago is missing right now.
Is an ace.
Your legitimate ace. You move that guy into your legitimate ace, still have Arrieta at two because Arrieta's pitched like a two this entire season. You move Hendricks down to a three. You move Davies down to a four. And then you have the rookie.
Alzolay. And that's possible. The only reason why I don't think it'll happen is because it'd be, like I said, all in on this year because so many contracts are up after this year. If this was 2 or 3 years ago, for sure, because Bryant's still under contract, Baez is still under contract, but because they're not, because they'll have to either pay those guys or replace those guys, I can't see them banking on 2021 saying, we're all in on a World Series.
Okay.
We'll see what happens, but that's my feeling on it.
I totally see it. Well, lots of different situations that we think could be happening with the Cubs. That wraps up the north side. Now it's time to move on to the south side in Chicago baseball. It is looking that Rodon is starting to figure things out. Will this help the Sox rotation? We will give you our thoughts here on Blow the Whistle. But first, let's hand it off to David with a quick sports update.
Back to your home for sports. SportsTownChicago.com. Scoreboard update.
I'm David Dykstra with your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com. Your mean Mercedes goes 2-for-5 with 3 RBIs as the White Sox complete the 3-game sweep of the Royals as they win 9-3. White Sox start a series with the Twins on Tuesday, first pitch at 7:10 p.m. Kyle Hendricks struggles in the first inning, giving up 4 runs as the 5-game winning streak comes to an end last night. They lose to the Pirates 6-5. The Cubs start a 2-game series with the Indians Tuesday, first pitch 5:10 p.m. Blackhawks beat the Stars 4-2 to win their second game in a row. Blackhawks' final game of the season is tonight against those same Stars. Puck drops at 7 p.m. Bulls win their third straight game as they defeat the Pistons 108-96. Zach LaVine leads the team with 30 points, and Nikola Vukovic pours in another double-double. Bulls' next game is tomorrow against the Nets, tip-off at 7 p.m. Rory McIlroy ends his 18-month winless drought by winning the Wells Fargo Championship on Sunday. He finished the tournament at 10-under to win the championship. Martin Truex Jr. wins his third race of the season as in NASCAR as he dominates at Darlington Raceway. Next for NASCAR is Dover International Speedway. This has been your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com.
This is your home for sports.
This is the best fans in the world.
No better team.
SportsTownChicago.com.
Are you ready for this? Valley View Automotive has all of the hottest SUVs you've been looking for. Enjoy a test drive and the opportunity to drive one of these powerful vehicles off the lot for half the price. Yes, half the price. Now's the time to get yourself to Valley View by car, on foot, or even by air to take advantage of this outrageous sale. You better get here quickly, because this promotion is only going on for 24 hours, and the automobiles are leaving the lot faster than you can say four-wheel drive. Valley View Automotive, a dealership you can depend on.
Hey, I'm Andy Griggs, asking you to help prevent domestic violence. Domestic violence isn't a woman's issue. It hurts all of us. Women are injured and killed every day by their husbands and boyfriends. So it's time for men to take action right now to teach boys that violence against women is wrong, to help prevent abuse before it starts. Call the Family Violence Prevention Fund at 1-800-END-ABUSE to get a free take action kit containing tips on what to say to boys. That's 1-800-END-ABUSE. Teach early.
Indeed is the number one job search user with over 250 million monthly users. Indeed's priority is to help everyone in the job searching process to find a job by uploading 10 new job opportunities every 10 seconds worldwide. With Indeed, you have free access to job searches, resume uploads, and company researches. There are over 10,000 employees at Indeed that pursue to help people find the job they are looking for. They connect with millions of people to new opportunities. Go to Indeed.com and sign up for free and create a resume and let Indeed do the rest to help you on your job search.
Hey, I'm Jesus Mauricio. Be sure to tune in every Friday to listen to Zeus Off the Bat, a baseball talk show from 1 to 2 p.m. where I'll be discussing and updating you on all things about baseball. News, predictions, reactions, and more about the Cubs, Sox, and everything across the league. Happens every Friday at 1 p.m. right here on SportsTownChicago.com. Don't forget to follow and share our Twitter and Instagram with your friends at Zeus Off the Bat.
Zeus Off the Bat.
7 strikeouts on the night so far for number 55, Carlos Rodon. Here's the 3-2. Caught it, a miss. He got him. Strikeout number 8.
Credit to NBC Sports Chicago for that wonderful highlight. The Cubs are we're past the Cubs.
We did
knock that stuff off. We're on to the good team now. Yeah, that's right. I said.
I mean, I know you're right, but that hurt.
Cubs are playing good ball right now.
Yeah, they are.
Cubs are playing good ball.
They're playing all right.
Bob, sorry, we're on the White Sox now. It's Monday.
That's right.
I'm a little. So, White Sox are coming off a 3-game win series against the Royals, And question to our listeners and then to you guys, is Rondon proving himself that he is worth a big contract this offseason? Give us your thoughts here on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. David, I'm going to ask you this first.
All right.
Do you think Rondon is proving himself, and that is he worth a big contract this offseason?
It's a small sample size so far. Let's get 60 games in, Brandon?
60 is a good benchmark.
60 games in
for the start.
So far, so good. Brandon and I kind of threw it around. We both kind of agree, probably the best pitcher in the AL right now.
Right now, definitely.
Right now, Otani's right there with him, though.
Otani's more impressive for his bat than... I mean, he is a good pitcher. Don't get me wrong.
Stop it.
Don't get me wrong.
Stop it.
You love Otani.
Yeah, man, I really want this guy to be the first guy to ever win a Cy Young and a home run
derby.
Yeah. I mean, there are other pitchers doing great. You've got Danny Duffy in Kansas City. John Means, who just pitched a no-hitter for Baltimore. And, of course, Gerrit Cole.
See?
Those are all in the American League.
I'm telling you right now, getting back to what we said, you just named off two pitchers from Kansas City and Baltimore.
Yeah.
If I'm a team that's like going to be in contention, I'm on the phone. But that being said, here's my thing. Is Rodon?
Yeah, I was going to say, let me correct myself. Rodon.
I don't know why.
Yes, not Rondon.
Rodon.
I'm sorry.
Rondon, former Cub pitcher. Yeah.
I had a misspelling Rodon. in my little thing.
Is Rodon worthy of a big contract? Whether he's worthy or not,
he'll probably get one.
Do you realize who his agent is, ladies and gentlemen? It is Scott Boras. He's going to get a big contract.
He's going to get his money.
Especially if he keeps pitching the way he does. Now, will he give the... Here's the better question, Brandon. Does he give the White Sox a little bit of a discount because the White Sox brought him back?
It's possible. And the fact that they drafted him will definitely help as well. And he's finally pitching like...
Everybody thought he was where he should be.
Yeah, he was. He was the third overall pick in the draft when he was drafted by the Sox. So, and obviously, it's been injuries, inconsistencies, but he's finally, again, small sample size. Obviously,
small sample size,
five starts,
for sure.
But he's been dominant when he's been out there. A 0.58 ERA right now. Five starts.
Well, not just dominant, but he has that no-hitter, comes back his next outing.
And battles.
That's what you want to see from a pitcher. It's not always going to be lights out, I've got my stuff kind of day. And if you can battle and still get through and be a great pitcher, that shows even more.
Well,
so,
Matt, when he came back, he limited the Royals to only five hits. I mean, that's pretty dang good.
I've been thoroughly impressed, not just with him. That whole rotation has been lights out. Complete and utter lights out.
Yeah, actually, over the weekend, so on Sunday, there was a moment where they gave up a run, it's amazing because that ended a 25 1/3 consecutive scoreless inning streak for starting pitching for the White Sox.
That's okay. I'm just going to say this, and I said that they had the best rotation in the AL. It's creeping up there to be the best rotation in all the majors.
Right now, it probably is. At this moment, it probably is the hottest,
for sure,
rotation in baseball right now. You see the Dodgers, obviously, that's one of the premier
names.
They are pitching well. The top three, the big three, are pitching well, but the team has been struggling, and it's more so the bullpen in that aspect, and the bats are quiet. But still, the big three over there in LA are pitching well, but the team, the five in Chicago,
the five
are
not three,
yeah,
the five.
And if you want to go far enough, we get six.
Yeah, if you want to count Kopech's one start, yeah. But, I mean, the Dodgers, again, they're pitching well, but the Sox are dominating.
Yeah.
They're not just pitching well.
Every game that they go out there and throw, they're just going out there. And here's the scary part for me, at least. We didn't expect this from the back half of this rotation. We expected it from the top three of the rotation for the White Sox. Can you imagine how good the White Sox are going to get if their bullpen catches up to their starting rotation?
Yeah, and again, that was supposed to be the strength, and it's gotten better, but it's still a little shaky.
A little shaky, but if that bullpen achieves what everybody thought that they were going to be,
they'll run away with this division.
They'll run away with the they might even run away with the AL.
It's possible. They're you right there right now.
Red
Sox?
The White Sox.
Mondays.
But yeah. And then, you know, then it's just, what do we do? Because then you're at the point in which everybody was talking about when you hired Tony La Russa. It was a win now mentality. All right, time to win now. What are you going to do?
Yeah, they're only a game and a half behind the Red Sox, who is leading the American League.
Yeah, Oakland's up there as well. But, I mean, yeah,
Oakland. What is Billy Bean doing, man? I swear on all that is good in the world.
Oakland started the season, I believe it was 1-6.
And how is this guy not
just
gotten
went on a run?
And how is this guy not left for, like, a major market yet? That's what kills me, is, like, he must love Oakland.
I was going to say, he's had offers.
Oh, he's had offers, for sure. But that being said, Do you see anything happening to change the momentum over Rodon?
No, he's definitely. Obviously, I'm a Cubs fan, not a Sox fan, so I haven't seen a lot of him. But I've watched a couple games of him. I watched the end of his no-hitter, and I watched the full game following that. Obviously, I've watched highlights of other things as well. But from what I've seen from him, he is definitely locked in right now. And that's one of those things where, obviously, for pitchers, it's a tricky thing because when you lose it,
it's mental. And for me, I think that was his biggest hurdle for himself.
Yeah.
Was his mental aspect and approach to the game. So if he's figured that out, the arm talent's always been there.
Yeah. And I mean, he's not quite where Jake Arrieta was in those Cy Young. That run that he went the end of 2015 into 2016. Mm-hmm. But he's not far off. I mean, Arrieta was just making hitters look lost.
Ridiculous.
They just didn't know what to do. They couldn't touch him. That's not quite where Rodon is right now. Rodon, it's more balls in play. He is striking guys out, but the fact is, it's weak contact against him when they're putting it in play. He is at that point right now where, outside of Jacob DeGrom, who is just ridiculous over there in New York, outside of him, Rodon is probably the best pitcher in baseball right now in terms of how they're going.
All right, and I'm just going to say this because they don't get enough credit where credit's due. Grandal needs to get some credit for catching and calling the games that he's calling right now. Because I don't believe that the catchers get enough. It's always about the pitching, always about the catchers have a lot to do with the, not overall, but they do have a say in how those games go and the mental mindset of your pitchers. You have to know the people that you're catching for those catchers to feel comfortable enough to take advice.
Yeah, and speaking of Grandal, just since you brought him up, this has nothing to do with his catching, by the way, but Yasmani Grandal, if you missed it, he drew a walk in the ninth inning on Saturday and therefore found his way in the record books. It was his fourth walk of the game and his 13th in the last four games, joining Bryce Harper, who did it in 2016, and Babe Ruth in 1930 as the only player since 1901 with 13 walks in a four-game span.
Now,
wow.
You want to sit here and talk about players seeing the ball? That's a guy right there that is seeing the ball very, very crisply.
Yeah.
Bias, I'm seeing the ball. Oh, wait, I whiffed four times.
Yeah.
13 walks.
Yeah, granted, he's not getting hits, but he's walking all the time.
That's 13 walks in four games?
Four games, 13
four games.
Walks.
Wow.
Barry Bonds set the record for most walks in a season. He wasn't on that list that I just read off. Barry Bonds didn't even do it when everyone was pitching away from him.
So I'm...
It's Babe Ruth and Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. I'm very, very surprised and very delighted with the rotation of the White Sox right now.
Yes.
But some of that credit has to go to Grandal. Has to, because he's been catching unbelievably great games for them.
I agree.
Okay. Well, not quite done yet with the White Sox. We still got one more to go. As we know, the White Sox are running into injuries as well. Should they try to trade for another outfielder? Stay tuned here and listen to our takes about that on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports.
Red left.
SportsTownChicago.com.
Take that exit and get to the Southern Cafe, home of the Nasty Biscuit on Roselle Road in Roselle. Get over there and try the chicken fried chicken biscuit made with the Southern Cafe's house-made drop biscuit with buttermilk chicken fried chicken smothered in country gravy, topped with shredded cheddar and crumbled hickory smoked bacon. I always say that when you go to the Southern Cafe, you come out with two meals with the heaping amounts of food they serve you in every meal. I love to go to a place with outdoor seating. The Southern Cafe has a great outdoor seating area to help social distance, and I get to enjoy my breakfast outdoors. Open 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. to give you plenty of time to grab an amazing breakfast or lunch. Now get your butt over to the Southern Cafe on Roselle Road.
Hello?
It's speed walking day.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention we'd be slowing down when we pass the court where those fun brothers play ball?
I heard that.
Reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Get active, eat right, and maybe even run into Mr. Right. Isn't sisterhood beautiful? For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
Alert! Alert! Be gone, maxed out credit cards, overdue loans, suffocating interest rates, and relentless collection agencies. If your credit rating is making you and others around you cringe, there's only one thing to do, and that's to turn to the professionals at Creative Credit Solutions. Even if your credit is less than perfect, we'll help you get back on track. You can do it, and we can help. Call today or visit creativecreditsolutions.net for your free credit check report.
Blow the Whistle on SportsTownChicago.com. Mondays and Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. as we talk NFL.
The game plan was really sound.
In the quarterback league, it has been, it still is.
Franchise-defining quarterbacks.
College football.
Will Jim Harbaugh make it through the season as Michigan's head coach?
Some more Big Ten talk.
And here's some things you wouldn't expect.
I would have never expected that.
Get all of that and more on Blow the Whistle on SportsTownChicago.com.
White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. We're with you all the way.
We are back, still talking on the south side of baseball, the Chicago White Sox.
As it should be.
Yeah.
I was going to say something, but never mind.
We'll just
move on.
I'll
give him this one.
Give me my year, all right?
Well, you're not getting the whole year. I'll give you this segment.
I'll give you the segment. So I got a quick question for you guys and the listeners. How much do you think the White Sox are willing to spend to replace the young injured stars if they do so? Let us know what you guys think on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. Brandon, I'm going to ask you this one first. How much do you think the White Sox are willing to spend to replace the young injured stars that they got going on?
Honestly, with how they're looking right now, it would be very tempting for Rick Hahn to go out and say, we can bring in a star player, and that could be what puts us over the top. I don't think he should. I don't think the White Sox will, because of the fact that if you look at who's hurt, it's Eloy Jimenez, who's out for probably the season, and Luis Robert. Luis Robert is not going to have surgery, but he's out for at least a few months. He could potentially come back at the end of the season. But the fact that these are young players and the window is still open, you're not all in on this season if you're the White Sox right now. So I don't think, kind of like the Cubs, the difference is the White Sox are in their window right now, where the Cubs, I think, are approaching their next window. They're still behind the wall. They're walking to their next window right now if you're the Cubs. But for the Sox, they could. I think they will bring someone in. I think they will go out and get another outfielder, but it won't be an all-star caliber outfielder. That's my opinion on
just
it.
Just like an extra help, just like to fill in the hole.
Yeah, and I mean, they have Billy Hamilton, obviously. That's a gold glove caliber outfielder with a minor league bat. But I think they will bring in someone, possibly if the Cubs were to cut him or if they wanted to try to swing a deal with the Cubs, a guy like Cameron Maybin. Not saying it will be Cameron Maybin, but a guy of that stature, a guy on a minor league contract who is a veteran player, a veteran outfielder. He'll give you veteran at-bats. And so someone cheap that can fill in and just kind of help you through this season.
And can play all positions in the outfield if need be. That's what the I agree with you there, Brandon. You've got to be looking for someone who's not just a left fielder, a center fielder, a right. You need a utility guy. And if he can play some infield, absolutely great add on to that. They need to get a utility guy, not a big name superstar. We were laughing about it. You know, there is a big name out there with 667 home runs. You know, Albert Pujols is out there. It's just not, and like he said, Tony La Russa came out and said, what again there, Brandon?
Unfortunately.
Emphasis on the unfortunately.
He is not a fit for this team at this time.
And that's the truth. What are they going to do? Throw Jose Abreu out into left field?
Then you've got basically two first baseman, whether you throw Pujols out there, if you throw Abreu out there, you've got Vaughn out there already. That's basically two first basemen / DHs in the outfield if you were to do that.
To credit Tony La Russa, which you won't hear me say that very often, but credit to Tony La Russa for having a guy that he loves and has been openly, you know, has open admiration for Albert Pujols, but just saying at this time, he does not fit what our team is about.
Yeah.
And I would say utility guys is what they need to be looking at. Not these
big name
all-star. Absolutely. Yeah.
And there are big names out there, obviously, that have been thrown around. I've heard Joey Gallo out there in Texas has been thrown around. I've heard Chris Bryant. I don't see that. There's no way.
Not
a chance.
That's literally banking all in on this year if you were to try to go for Chris Bryant. And again, I don't think the Sox are doing that. They know they have a wider window than that. They'd basically be giving everything back to the Cubs that they got in
Quintana.
In not just the the Quintana deal. Yeah.
So I we're in agreement. They should be looking more mid-level player, not big-time names.
Yeah, and if you are going to go for a bigger name, I'd say go for he can be an all-star. I don't know if he ever has been, but a guy like Starling Marte out in Miami.
I like that. Marte is an unbelievably great player who can play every position in the outfield.
Yeah, obviously
and has power.
Yeah, it depends on what the Marlins asking price is, because he is probably one of their top trade chips. I definitely expect him to be traded this season because I see Miami falling well out of contention if they haven't already. but I definitely see Marte being moved. And so that could, depending on the asking price, be a target for the White Sox.
That's not a bad one, actually. Did you, like starting
Brandon, did you ask if he was an all-star or a gold glove winner?
Has he ever been an all-star? I don't remember.
He is an MLB all-star and a two-time gold glove award winner.
There you go. So he can obviously improve the defensive side, but he's got a good bat. You mentioned he's got some power. He is a former all-star.
Well, and U.S. Cellular, I don't care what they call that.
Guaranteed
play.
Rate.
I don't care. It's always going to be U.S. Cellular or Comiskey. Yeah. But that being said, it's a hitter's park. It is a hitter's park. And if you get someone that has a bat, that's only a plus. You know what? He was in the back of my mind this whole time. I'm glad you brought Starling Marte up. That'd be a great, great move. and it probably wouldn't cost them all that much.
I don't think so. It might probably a prospect. Miami's looking to rebuild, yeah. So it'll be from the farm system, not major league talent, most likely. And I'll have to pull up his contract, or if you could real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would be a 1-year rental where you're just having him because you know you're getting Robert and Jimenez back next season. So they don't need a long-term signing, a long-term all-star, because they're getting two potential all-stars back in their young stars.
I want to say he's got 2 years left.
Marte?
Yeah, two to three, but I want to say two. To just throw it out there.
Take a look.
But that being said, yeah, big names for this team, just with the way that they are playing right now and the chemistry that team has together right now, I feel like it would be a bad decision to maybe uproot that cohesiveness and that chemistry by bringing in a big name that could come in there and kind of try and throw his weight around and upset the dynamic of the clubhouse.
Yeah, because obviously they're looking good right now. They're looking great right now.
Yeah.
But in terms of the season as a whole, they can compete. They could potentially win the American League.
Oh, for sure.
And so
he does have 1 year left.
Oh,
so
it goes
go.
Up. It goes up to 2022.
All right.
Okay, so he'll be a free agent after this season.
No.
Or you said through 2022.
Right now, it just says 2022, he'll be a free agent.
So after this season, he would be,
he'd be a 1 year rental,
a 6 month rent or a half a season rental. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would work out because, again, you're getting those guys back after this season.
That's not a bad move at all, actually.
Rick Hahn, I mean, I'd prefer a Cubs job, but if you're hiring, I'll take it.
Right? You just bring us along with Brandon. Yeah, that's all we ask. I'll be the catcher in the bullpen.
Yeah,
that's all
I was
going to
say, we talked about a stat guy potentially, or a rules expert for you.
There we go.
I'll take that gig.
Well, boys, that wraps up our oddly hour and a half show today.
Hey, we do what we do.
We do what we do.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone that was listening. And to our listeners right now that are listening, we don't have the bestest of news. For temporarily, we will not be having shows on Fridays as the Chicago Dogs will be back in season, which will be streamed live here on SportsTownChicago.com.
Nice plug.
Not the best news because you won't be hearing us, but
exactly.
At times you
baseball,
will be hearing
will be,
us as
be
we
hearing
will
us.
Be working those Dogs games.
Yes, we will. So we had to switch it up, guys. We got to move around in the world, but we'll still be here on Mondays. So we'll be back here next Monday.
And you might hear us some other times just randomly.
Oh, yeah.
You might, whatever we feel like doing a show to make up for the Friday. So
there you go.
As long as you guys know, but you guys also know that you can hear our recorded shows on Anchor and Spotify at Blow the Whistle. And with that being said, I am Tyler Buterbaugh along with
David Dykstra
and Brandon Januska.
You guys have a wonderful rest of the Monday and have a great week. We'll see you guys next week.
This is your home for sports.
Longtime fans.
Sports is like life. SportsTownChicago.com.